Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, A Biblical Understanding of Time. And I want to ask, where do the events of today and our lives relate to this timeline?
Today I'd like to talk with you about time and having a biblical understanding of time, the importance of understanding world history from a biblical perspective. And why is that important? Is because if you have a right understanding of time, you know where you are, where you've been, and where you're going. I liken it to a ship, of course I would, to a ship. And if you remember, in the old days, if you're on a tall sailing ship going from England to the New World, you're traversing a line, if you will, across the Atlantic, you'd be going on a latitude, a horizontal line, and they could determine that pretty easily in those days. But what they didn't know, as they're traveling across to the New World, was where they were longitudinally on that line across the ocean, how far they were, because for that you needed an accurate marine chronometer or a timepiece. Eventually developed in 1751 by John Harrison, who developed a marine chronometer, basically a watch, so that they could tell what time it was within seconds, a day, or even a month, to know and calculate their longitude, where they were. So you need time to know where you are, where you've been, where you're going. Now, if you don't have time and you don't know where you are, what's the danger of that? Well, they could think they're over here 500 miles from the coast to which they're heading. They might be just 5 miles from the coast. And then they might come upon the coast in darkness, or in the blinding rain of a storm or a hurricane. And then they will go and dash themselves on the rocks and sink because they did not know their location, because they did not know their time. And so time also for us is super important as we traverse from the old world to God's new world that's coming. We're crossing the ocean of time. We need to know where we are on this timeline so that we also can navigate carefully and be safe and come to anchor safely in God's kingdom. So let's talk about time today and see what we can learn from that, what God teaches us, because he is super interested in Scripture always of locating and orienting you to the right time, to his time. Let's take a look and see what we can learn. So here's a timeline on my right-hand side. The first thing we learn in Scripture is that God, our God, is the author of time. He set it up because, what do we read here? Opening line of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what do we know about time already? Is that it has a beginning. Let's mark that over here. So time has a beginning, and God set it up in the beginning. And the Bible actually tells us basically how old the earth is. A little over 6,000 years old. That's not what the world teaches, but when last was the world right about anything? God actually ordained or set up time, let's put that on here as a clock, at the start of the world, because we read, as soon as he creates the world, let there be light, said God, and there was light, and he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning, one day. So God set up divisions of time. Then he gave us a way to measure time. That was on day 4, because God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. So he's talking now about the sun and the moon and the stars, which, by the way, were created after the earth on the 4th day. And he set them in the firmament to separate the day from the night. And let them be, God says, for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and to give light upon the earth. And even to this very day, we count and measure time by the sun and the moon and the stars, don't we? The moon is the month, the sun determines the years, and the stars are great for calculating where we are in time. And so God set up a way to measure time in the very beginning. And then he also gave us a way to measure it very accurately by recording it for us in books, namely his book, the Bible, the books of the scriptures. If we look over here in Genesis 5, listen to this. When Adam lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness after his image, and he named him Seth. The days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Adam that he lived were 930 years. He died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh, etc. Look at that. God's throwing out numbers here very accurately. What is he recording for us? Not everybody's age, but the age of the lineage of his son, Jesus Christ, who is to come. These are his ancestors. And God, the whole story of time, the history of the world, is all driven with a purpose, God's purpose, to exalt his son. It's all about him. It's his story. And to save a people in him for the world to come across the sea, the land of the free, the true home of the brave. That's his kingdom. So we know the timing of things, and that's how we can calculate about a little over 6,000 years based on the dates given in Scripture. And then we also know in the history of the world that it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end to time. Because John the Apostle tells us, children, it is the last hour. Peter says in his, the end of all things is at hand. John the Apostle foretold the sky will vanish like a scroll that's rolled up, and every mountain and island will be removed from its place. So already based upon this timeline, or the chronometer of scriptures, where can we place the ship on the sea crossing from the old world to God's new world to come? It is the last hour. We know already located generally where we are. Do you know how important that is for us to know such a thing? The world that we're living in has no concept of what I'm talking about today. It does not understand time. It thinks that the universe stretches back to 20 billion years where nothing exploded by a power that didn't exist and created everything. And that's 20 billion years. The earth is 4.5 billion years old. Mankind is 4 million years old or so. And so they believe you came from apes and from monkeys and from chimps. And if you believe that, you're a chump, because that's not the truth. The truth is Scripture, that God created you very specially, and he's not even that very long ago. Now, if you are of the world and you don't have a marine chronometer, you don't have the Scripture, you don't have a way to locate yourself, you could be closing in on the coast in fog or in a thick rainstorm of a hurricane or in darkness of night, and they're going to run themselves up on the rocks, because when God comes, he's going to come like a hurricane, says the Scripture. And they're going to go down and sink. And you know, in ancient days, many people coming to America sank at the end of their voyage because they crashed into the rocks. They went shipwreck. Look at the old maps where there are shipwrecks charted all over our coast because they didn't know what time it was. They didn't know their location. They went down. They came across the Atlantic on what was called dead reckoning. And if you do that, you're going to probably be reckoned dead at the end, as was the case with many people. So you are so blessed. We are to have time and therefore know our location and know where we are so we can keep a sharp lookout for the land that's coming, the coast, to which is our goal, which we're heading for so marvelously by Jesus Christ. And we know that all of history, beginning, middle, and end, is being driven by the author of time for a goal, an orderly progression for a purpose to bring Jesus Christ to be the hero of the whole story, it's all his story, and to save a people in him. And God appoints a time for everything. So here, let's put our little ship over here. We think we're closing in on the end. God appoints times for everything. Listen to the Genesis 6. The Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, but his days shall be 120 years. Now, I would take that to be, since people lived longer than that after the flood, to be speaking of the expiration date for the ancient world, namely that a flood was coming and God set the date. You got 120 years to go. Then, after the flood, Noah or Abraham came along 2,000 years after creation. God spoke to him in Genesis 15. Listen to how orderly history is from God's perspective. He took Abraham and gave him this vision. The Lord said to Abram, "Know of a surety that your descendants shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be slaves there, and they will be oppressed for 400 years, but I will bring judgment on the nation which they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions." So he foretold that they were going to go down to Egypt for 400 years. Look at this. We've got dates for Adam, we've got dates for the flood, we've got dates for how long they're going to be in exile before they're not even there yet. But God has already set it up because he's driving history for his purposes. When he brought them out of Egypt and into the land of Israel, in Leviticus 23, he appointed for them feasts, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month in the evening, is the Lord's Passover. So when they lived their lives out in Israel, when they came back, they had very carefully apportioned times for everything. God is ordering it. History is not a free-for-all runaway train. It's being driven. You are being sailed across the ocean by God to a goal. And that's a wonderful comfort for us as Christians. When he comes into the land, then we have in Daniel chapter 2, we read, God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. So if you look at Israel in ancient days, they seem to have a wild free-for-all of kings, don't they? You got Israel in the north, Judah in the south, and there one's getting assassinated, and this person's taking over here, and this one's good, and most of them are evil. It seems like pandemonium to us. But if you read it carefully, research it, write it down, when you finish and you count, oh, there were 20 kings after all that for Israel, 20 kings for Judah. Add them up, and what number do you get to? You great engineers out there. 40. You get to 40. After all that craziness, you see that God, even in the midst of man's sin and messed up lives, was ordering and ordaining the orderly progression of things to the great conclusion of his purposes in Christ. Think about David's life. David fought Goliath. He fought King Saul, who was trying to kill him. His son Absalom was trying to kill him. It seems like a crazy mixed up life, doesn't it? What do you read about how old David was when he died after all that craziness? 70, very biblical number. Think that was an accident? If you look at David's life and all that craziness, you get this 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. How long did he reign? Well, at that time, David reigned over Israel. My goodness, look at that, 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron. And then 33 years in Jerusalem. Add them up, you get 40. Is that an accident? Who's driving history, friends? Is there someone at the center or the driving wheel of all of history? There is. It's God. You have Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. You have the people of Israel in the wilderness 40 years. You have 40 days of rain for Noah. You have 40 weeks for a woman with child. 47s before you give birth. Everything is orderly and progressive in God's eyes, and he's appointing times for everything. And he appoints times for countries. Acts 17, God made from one every nation of men to live on the face of all the earth, having determined allotted periods. So in other words, he set up all the times for countries and the boundaries of their habitations. That's a good word for us today in America, where it seems like we're living in pandemonium and craziness, and it's so disorganized. Well, in a human way, yeah, because there's sin. But in God's eyes, he's driving it for a purpose. And go ahead and vote and work for our country and pray for our country. But I'll tell you, it's God ultimately who's going to elect our next president by his own determination for his purposes. And what are his purposes? God is driving all history with a great purpose to the exaltation of Jesus Christ, his son, and to save a people in him. So let's take a look now at Jesus. This is the apex of history right here, the cross, right there. Because what do we read in Scripture? Let's open up again to God's chronometer here. We're going to open up to Galatians 4. Verse 4 says, but when the time, say time, had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So that was not an accident. It was at the exact appointed, appropriate time Jesus came. Not before, not after, not early, not late, exactly on time. God is driving history. And if you think about it, Jesus' life was super time-oriented too, wasn't it? On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what have you to do with me? For my time has not yet come. Notice that. He knew exactly when his ministry was to start. She was jumping the gun, but he was merciful, did the miracle anyway. But he says, there's a time for me. That came in Mark chapter 1. For after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's the goal of history. And it's driving in as a time like clockwork in Jesus' life. How about when they tried to arrest him? What happened? Did that work? Well, John 7. They were seeking to arrest him, no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. God's clock is ticking. You can't touch him until his time. Jesus knew the time of his death precisely. For he says in Matthew 26, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. He knew the timing of his death. And guess what? Perfectly clockwork organized and ordained by God on the Passover. When they were celebrating that a lamb saved God's people out of Egypt by its blood, now Jesus would die on that very feast at that exact time, go to the cross to shed his blood as the ultimate Lamb of God, to shed his ultimate blood to save his ultimate people for a world to come across the ocean to bring us to that kingdom that is forever. This is God's purpose. It's his goal. We should take super comfort in this today. And you know where you are in history. Because we're living now in the age of, let's put it up here, the church. We're living in the age of the church. Because 50 days after Jesus was raised, or at Passover, came Pentecost. God poured out his spirit. And 3,000 were saved through the preaching of the apostles. And off we are into the church age, which is the last days. When Jesus came, it was the last days. He appeared at the end of time for our sakes. And so ever since Jesus came, all of the history after that is called the last days, which means over here, we're getting near the coasts. We're getting very close. We know where we are in history. Paul says in Romans 13, besides this, you know what hour it is. You know it. For that the time has come for you to wake from sleep. In other words, get out of your bunks, get up on deck, and start looking for the land, because we're getting close to the coast. He says, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. If you think about all of history, it's like one big long night for God, because it's the power of darkness. But when Jesus came, the morning star appeared in the sky, heralding the coming of dawn, the coming of the new world. We're almost there. The true light is already shining, and we've only a little ways to go before we burst into full day which is the goal, eternal kingdom for his saints. But on the way there, of course, we know that there's other things appointed that we have to pass through. Some of them are enemy warships, which are appointed actually by God. So don't be afraid of them. They have their times too. 2 Peter 3 says, first of all, you must understand this, that the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions. They're going to be saying, where's the promise of his coming? Where's the end? Where's that coming you're talking about? For ever since the fathers first fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. They deliberately ignore this fact that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water, and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by that same word that did all that stuff, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. We're driving toward the coast and we're getting, how close do you think we are? Where should we put the ship? I got it. Right over here, right near the coasts. Therefore, aloft, O Christians, into the crow's nest and be spying out. See which one of you can be the first to pick out the world to come, which is just over the horizon for us as God's people. We also have to pass through at the end of the time difficult times. For in the last days there will come times of stress. Men are going to be lovers of self. They're going to be lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, etc., holding the form of religion and denying the power of it. Do we see that? We can see that as a sign. Driftwood in the river, in the ocean here, showing we're near the coast. There are churches that hold the form of it, of religion, look like Christians, but they're promoting wickedness, other gospels, adultery, and such things. We also have to pass through at the end of time this an enemy warship blockade called the Antichrist. But listen about him. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 6 says, you know, Paul says, what is restraining him, the Antichrist, now, so that he may be revealed in his time. So who gave him that time? God appointed the time for the Antichrist, but take good courage because we know that his time is short. In the Bible, it's described as 42 months in Revelation. And we know that if we pass through the great warship, the battleship, that's blockading the coast of God's kingdom to come, that's the devil. We know that he's come down to us in great wrath, but don't be afraid of that battleship, because he's come down to us in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. The devil knows time, and he knows he's got a little tiny window to patrol on that coast, and that's it. And we can have super confidence through that one, too, because we're on the ship, friends, called salvation. And Jesus Christ himself is our captain. And God has predetermined we're going to pass through that blockade triumphantly, winning and victorious. And so let's be alert, though, as we pass through these things. And your life as well has been appointed. You know, I've heard people, maybe even myself at times, like, oh, woe is me. We have to go through all these things that are going on in the world, right? What are we going to face in the days to come? Are they days of trouble? Oh, wouldn't it be better to have lived at some other time? Put that thought out of your minds right now. Have nothing to do with it. You were appointed for these very days. Your days also are like clockwork coming to pass, because the time of your birth was chosen by God. And we read here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, God told Jeremiah. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We have a part in God's story of Christ. This is all about him, but we have parts to play. Cameo roles. Be brave. This is your day. This is your part of the story to act it out with courage. We know that Paul said that God set me apart before I was born, and the proper time revealed his son to me to preach to the Gentiles. And don't be afraid about the day of your death, as a lot of us can tend to be, but we know in the Bible, God's chronometer says, in thy book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God predetermined how long your life would be before there was a day of it. You have your allotted, appointed period to be great, to be a hero on the ship, to do your great mission that he's set before you to do. Therefore, Paul could say, the time of my departure has come. And Peter, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. But know this, your job being lived out with courage, could it not be said of you, which was said of Esther when she saved the Jews from extinction, being exalted to be queen? Who knows, but that you have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. God has an appointed mission for you. Don't be afraid of our days then. Just be enjoying happily that you're on a ship. And of all places in all of history, you could have been born any of these places. God chose for you to be born as the ship is nearing the coast. You're almost there. We're going to raise land any day. Spy it out. What an adventurous time to be living. What a great time as God's people. And we rejoice as we're getting close to the land in these words. Acts 17, God has fixed a day upon which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. When it says God's fixed a day, the word in the Greek is histemi, which means he has already established it. He's already appointed that day. He's authorized it. He's put it into force. He set it up in a place so firmly it cannot be moved. It's a day fixed, which no one knows, and he didn't tell us exactly when that day was, because he wants his people through all of human history to be alert, to be on the lookout, to be spying out and see what they can see, and to be living and doing their duties. But it's coming soon. And we already know that we're on the ship of salvation in Jesus Christ. For Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. And you believing in him, you are saved. And you've come aboard his ship. And you have a great adventurous mission with him now in life, in eternal life. And we read, by that single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Good words. And just as this is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin as he did the first time, but at the second time to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So we're coming close to the coast. Be excited, happy. This is adventurous. This is fantastic. Let's keep a sharp lookout on these things and hold the biblical understanding of time afresh in your mind. For the world, they haven't got a clue. They're sailing into fog, low visibility, a storm. They can't see where they're going. A hurricane is here, and they will shipwreck because they don't understand time, therefore their position. But you know it. 2,000 years, creation to Abraham. 2,000 years, Abraham to Christ. 2,000 years, Christ to us. We're nearing the coast. So be alert. Navigate well. Take your soundings into the crow's nests with you. Oh, Christian, let's see which of us can spot it first. I think we'll all see it together. And already in the waters, I see driftwood passing by the ship, don't you? And I see in the skies seagulls not far from the land. And I smell in the air the scent of the pines of God's kingdom just over the horizon. And soon we'll drop anchor in that harbor of the world to come with joy forever. And Jesus himself, who is the driver of all history, with God Almighty, testifies to these things and says, surely I am coming soon. And we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called A Biblical Understanding of Time. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. Our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.